Welcome to Ingest, the podcast series designed for primary care and brought to you by the Primary Care Society for Gastroenterology. My name is Charlie Andrews. I'm a GP and I'm also the host for the Ingest series. The episode that you're about to listen to was recorded before the guidance on fit testing in primary care was updated by the British Society of Gastroenterology and the Association of Coloproctology of Great Britain and Ireland in July 2022, and then subsequently endorsed by NHS England in the early autumn for use in primary care. In spite of these changes, the discussion that I had with Dr. Taufik was very interesting and had so much useful information in that what you're going to hear is that recording that was taken prior to these changes. However, following that interview, I'm going to then give a brief overview of what the current guidance says so that you're aware of what the latest guidance around fit testing in primary care is. I'll have a look at that document that was brought out and endorsed by NHS England and give a brief overview of some of the changes that are particularly relevant to primary care as a result of this updated guidance. But without further ado, here is the episode that was recorded in the summer. Today I'm going to be talking about something really topical. We're going to be discussing fit testing in primary care, talking about symptomatic patients, asymptomatic patients, when we should use it, when we potentially shouldn't be using it, some common pitfalls. And we're going to be covering all of that today with Dr. Mo Taufik, who is a gastroenterologist in Sheffield. So just to start with, I'm going to ask Mo to introduce himself.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks to everyone listening and watching. I mean, I'm a consultant gastroenterologist with an interest in endoscopy. I also am the lead for gastroenterology and endoscopy in the South Yorkshire and Bassetlaw area. And I firmly believe that I'm a good collaborator with GPs and people in primary care. So thanks for having me, Charlie.
Great. Thanks, Mo. I'm really looking forward to discussing this with you. And it really is a hugely important topic that we're talking about today. And I'm sure our listeners will have heard of it, will probably be aware of it. Hopefully we'll be able to shed a bit more light about what it is, how to use it. Also, it's obviously really important right now with the latest network contract updates in terms of ensuring that all two-week waits are accompanied by a fit test. So really no better time to cover this topic than now, in my opinion. But why don't we just start at the beginning, Mo, and think about what is fit? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. FIT is what it stands for is fecal immunochemical tests. It's FIT, and it's fit for purpose, and it's very topical, as you quite rightly said. It's a simple stool test, which has been designed and for easy to use, which basically detects human hemoglobin. So it's very specific for human blood. So if there is a presence of blood in the motions and the stool, then it'll be positive. So it helps the primary care to sort of triage the patients and people who would benefit from having a colonoscopy or to be referred to secondary care.
And how does it differ from FOB? Yeah. So I think some of our audience probably will be quite familiar with FOB testing. So how is this different?
I mean, again, a great question. I mean, as you quite rightly said, the fecal occult blood test, which is FOB, as you said, it's very similar to FIT test. The only difference is when FOBT was used, you certainly require more than one sort of stool sample. So that was inconvenient for patients. And it was also not very specific for human blood. So for example, if you've had some meat product, so that may have some animal blood in it, and that could also be falsely positive. And in the FOBT time, you have to also ask patients to stop certain medications because they may also cause the stool to turn positive for blood. And as I said, it's very convenient and it gives you a value because FOBT was either positive or negative, whereas FIT test gives you a value. So as clinicians, we like numbers. So then we know if it is positive at a certain level, then we can work around it. And it has been shown that patients prefer it because all you need is one single test unlike FOBT, where we required more than one test. And studies have shown that the uptake has increased. Patients are accepting this compared to when FOBT was present.
Plenty of advantages really there over FOBT, so it does sound that way. It feels like there are three sort of scenarios where we might use fit testing, and obviously the first being in screening, so colorectal cancer screening. So I hope we could just touch on that a little bit at the beginning. The other area is in those patients, it's sort of described as kind of low risk, but the patients where we're seeing them in primary care and we have a low suspicion for colorectal cancer, but we want to make sure that we feel more comfortable not sending them down a two-week wait pathway. So the other scenario is that sort of that group of patients that we are consulting with on a regular basis, really, in primary care. And then that third group is the people where we are now being asked to send a fit test for every two-week wait referral that we make for lower gastrointestinal cancer. So maybe we could break that down a bit, Mo, and sort of start with screening. So how does fit work in screening, and you know, what is the pickup rate?
Yeah, absolutely right. A good question. FIT has been used for various reasons, as you quite rightly said, for the screening group, i.e. which means for the listeners, these are people who have no symptoms whatsoever, and they've participated in a public health sort of a program to for screening, because they are at a particular age group where they're more likely to have cancer. And the second group, as you rightly said, is the symptomatic group. So, I mean, not all symptoms mean that they may have cancer, but there are certain symptoms, particularly at a certain age, where you think perhaps they may be at a higher risk for bowel cancer. So in the symptom, we know from the screening group, there has been a vast experience in the UK. We've been using FIT for a few years already, and it has shown that it's been greatly effective in picking up early cancers. In a sense, that 10% of people who come for colonoscopy after they've had a positive FIT test are likely to have bowel cancer, and nearly 60 to 70% will be early cancers, so i.e. they'll have a curative operation or treatment. So that's with the screening population, so which has been shown to be quite effective. And if you look at the symptomatic group, where the levels are set at a 10 is the cutoff for a FIT level, is when we suggest that we need to be looking for a referral to the specialist to exclude bowel cancer. At these level, we again are seeing the patients are symptomatic and they have a high FIT test, which is more than 10, then we are seeing that the cancer detection is more than 5 to 10%. So that is in a symptomatic group. So it has been shown to be very useful. At the same time, if you set the FIT level at higher level, say, let's assume you say that the FIT level is 150 for a person who's symptomatic, then the likelihood of having colon cancer is almost, in certain studies, 25%. So it has been shown to be very useful for the primary care and for us. So that's with the symptomatic group.
So you talked there about the way that you can manipulate the number a little bit in terms of what your cutoff is. Yes. What is the cutoff? Because the cutoff, I believe, is different for screening versus the symptomatic.
That's you're spot on, Charlie. You're up on it, aren't you? Yes. The cutoff, which is set for the symptomatic group, as you quite rightly said, is 10. For the screening group in England, it's set at 120, and in Wales at 150. And similarly, the European countries have their own levels that they have set up. This is not based on scientific evidence, but these are all not only scientific evidence, but they are based on the local demands and logistics and how much they can be able to provide the service.
I'd like to focus a little bit on that symptomatic group, if that's okay, because this is something we do come across a lot. And I know that myself and my colleagues, we are doing FIT testing on people who come in with symptoms, and we're trying to work out how at risk they are of colorectal cancer. Could we talk about who would be appropriate for a FIT test in primary care and how you might utilize it?
Yeah, I mean, a good question again, Charlie. I think the simple answer will be is use FIT in the primary care if they are a screening population, which basically is important. Although it directly comes via the public health and the people get it via the post. And I think we do know that with the GP's interaction, the participation is very high, and you guys are doing a sterling job by encouraging your patients to participate in the screening program. In the symptomatic group, well, I think it's been designed specifically and been found to be effective when you want to exclude or diagnose colorectal cancer. So that I would suggest is to use the NICE guidance, which basically suggests that you would use that when you're suspecting colorectal cancer. And we've also had a more recent publication from the British Society of Gastroenterology, which suggests that FIT should be used in all patients when you're suspecting symptomatic patients when you're suspecting colorectal cancers in the adult population.
And so can you give an example of who you might do a FIT test in primary care?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's somebody who's got unexplained symptoms. Perhaps they're an adult population and they've got sort of diarrhea, particularly in a context of anemia, and where you would expect to be referring them to secondary care, you would do a FIT test. As I said, the FIT is very specific for human blood, and it will detect blood if there is a blood loss in it. However, we also know that not all cancers bleed, particularly if they are on the right side of the bowel. Not all of them bleed, so you can miss some of the tests, and they can be falsely negative. But that's when we need to look a bit more carefully and see, should we still refer this to a secondary care despite the FIT test being negative?
I was going to ask you actually about that, Mo, because I want to know, what do we do if you've got someone who's symptomatic with a negative FIT test? How confident can we feel that is not cancer?
Again, a good question, Charlie. I mean, no test is perfect, as you know. Colonoscopy misses cancers, CTs can miss cancers, likewise FIT is not 100% sort of FIT for each time. We do know that you can miss cancers, particularly if the cancer had not been bleeding at that point. As I said, there are certain cancers in the bowel, particularly if you're on the right side of the bowel, when purely all you get is anemia, and they might be anemic and they may not have other symptoms, and FIT can actually miss. In that context, you do a safety netting and make sure that you've had a chat with the patient and go through other symptoms. Are they anemic? Do they have low ferritin perhaps, or a high ferritin as well? So that means there is some sort of an oncological or oncotic process going on. We also know that patients who've got a high platelet count, which can be a very subtle marker of cancer, plus they have a FIT level, which is not entirely negative, but they are negative in a context of less than 10, but they're between 4 and 10, perhaps. As I said, FIT is great because it gives you value. So less than 10 does not always mean a negative, but if it is less than, so let's assume it is between 4 and 10, plus they have symptoms, then that's when you think, well, although the FIT test is negative, i.e. less than 10, they have other symptoms. Maybe I need to be worried. Let me refer them to a secondary care.
Is there any evidence on whether repeating FIT testing is helpful?
Yeah, again, a good question. We do know from the fecal-occult blood testing that we've done more than one test. It's great because then you have two tests. If they're both negative, then we can be reassured. That's in the context of a fecal-occult blood test. However, we also know that, if you've got one test already positive, then it doesn't add any value to doing two. And the also concern is, are we delaying things? You don't want to be doing two tests and, waiting for a referral. It has been shown by a study in the north of England that having two tests does help, but it's not what as clinicians and cancer alliances suggest that we do two FIT tests. But we do see that there have been uncertain clinical scenarios, which has been quite useful.
Okay, great. And are there things that can falsely elevate your FIT, for example, things that we need to just be aware of?
Yeah, again, as I said, the likelihood of the FIT being positive when there's a bleeding, although the FIT test has been specifically being used to exclude bowel cancer, we do know that if someone has other causes where they might have a bleeding, perhaps non-cancer pathologies of the bowel, such as they may have diverticulosis, or they may have piles, hemorrhoids, or we do see that if they've got colitis. So these are conditions where they may already have some blood loss. So they might be falsely positive in those scenarios. That's one reason we say that maybe doing a FIT test in a very young, perhaps, is doesn't have any value, because the likelihood of them having colitis is more than them having sort of a cancer. So you may want to do the other stool tests, as the primary care is familiar with, do the calprotectin instead of a FIT test.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. So it's really using your clinical acumen as well before you sort of reach for the FIT test. So, okay. Now, we're also, as part of our contract, we're being asked now to send a FIT test with every 2-week wait. And a question I get from my colleagues is, there's two of them, actually. I think you know what they're going to be, Mo. But firstly, we've always been told not to do a FIT test in anemic patients with iron deficiency anemia. So that's the first scenario I want to cover. And then the second one is, well, if they've got rectal bleeding and it's, you know, overt rectal bleeding, why would I do a FIT test? So maybe we could cover those two scenarios. Is that all right? You could give us some insights.
Absolutely. Let's do it. I mean, first question is FIT in the context of anemia. Very, very good question. And I think I'll try and answer it as comprehensively as I can. But essentially, it is controversial initially, but we have some more advice more recently. If you looked at the BSG, the British Society of Gastroenterology's anemia guidance, it says don't do FIT because it's probably not going to add, because we do know from previous studies that the cancers that were found in a FIT negative stool test were actually, a lot of them were anemic. So basically going back to this, just putting it down, patients who actually had a negative FIT but ended up having cancer, a lot of them were actually anemic. So basically the BSG said don't do it because don't want to be falsely sort of telling your patient that, well, your FIT is negative, Mrs. Smith, but you're anemic, but it's probably not cancer. But that's the British Society of Guidance anemia. That's the only anemia guidance that was a good few years old. But the more recent guidance, which has been published by the BSG, that's to look at the FIT particular FIT test, does say do the FIT test, definitely do the FIT test in a context of anemia. Because it does help if it is negative, but it shouldn't be falsely reassuring you. So in our Cancer Alliance, we do say that if the FIT test is negative, i.e. less than 10, but it's between 4 and 10, if they're still anemic and if they have other symptoms, you would still do a 2-week wait referral. So that's to do with anemia. I think it certainly helps. The second question is about rectal bleeding. I know we alluded to saying, they're probably obviously bleeding. Why would you want to do a FIT test? Certainly, we do know that a lot of patients got bleeding piles, perhaps they may already have a positive FIT test. But we also know that patients who have overt rectal bleeding and they ended up having a FIT test, a lot of them were actually negative. So suggesting that they don't always pick up, maybe the bleeding has settled. We certainly in our Cancer Alliance do not advise a FIT test to be done in a context of rectal bleeding. But we do know that there are areas which do advise that for every single 2-week wait, even if they have got rectal bleeding, you still do a FIT test. And again, that's to do with the local agreement and local cancer alliances. So I agree, it's challenging for primary care to refer without a FIT test, even if there's an obvious rectal bleeding. Yeah.
That's really helpful because it does feel sometimes counterintuitive to do a test to look for occult bleeding when they have overt bleeding.
Exactly.
But you've helped clear that up, and that's helpful. And my understanding was it sometimes alters what sort of tests are done sometimes in secondary care as well, in terms of the flexible sigmoidoscopy versus a colonoscopy. It can sometimes sort of alter decision making, but that's really helpful. Thanks so much, Mo. I think we're sort of coming towards the end really at the moment in terms of fit. I think we've covered an awful lot there. So we know what fit is. We know why it's different from FOB. Lots of real positives, aren't there? So much easier to use for patients, and it's kind of not going to pick up the abnormal blood that we're not interested in. We talked about that asymptomatic versus symptomatic group. So that's been really good. And you've talked about those complex areas, so anemia and rectal bleeding. So all really helpful. I wonder, Mo, this is your opportunity to talk to our audience of primary care clinicians with your top tips for fit. So I'm going to hand it over to you to give us your top tips, Mo.
Well, I mean, thanks, Charlie. I think it's, the top tips is you know, be familiar, I think, with the local guidance and talk to the local gastroenterologist. And I think it's very important. Again, use it in the context where it's certainly required, which is you already do it, which is when you are suspecting colorectal cancers. Doing one fit test is enough, which is what we're suggesting. In a context of anemia, as you said, be careful not to interpret a negative fit test because they may have a right-sided cancer, which is falsely fit negative. And be aware of the cutoffs, because the cutoffs are different for different criteria, for example, if you're symptomatic versus screening. And interesting enough, we do not know what the levels were for the screening group, because they is not something that we know. All we know is they're positive. So the other thing that we talked about, Charlie, previously, haven't we, is when don't we do fit tests? Are there times when we shouldn't be doing them? And again, I think the primary care team is fantastic when you do a holistic approach. We know that in certain cases, doing a fit test may not actually add any further information to the patient or the patient's care. So maybe we just have to use a holistic approach in that sort of scenario, and doing nothing or doing very little invasive. Although the fit test is a non-invasive test, it has other reasons that we may need to do an invasive test. So having a holistic approach probably may help in that patient.
Yeah.
Thanks, Charlie. So I think the primary care does a fantastic job, and I think we'll be grateful in the secondary care for how much you've helping us in triaging our patients to ensure that all the right patients are sent to us.
Oh, thanks so much, Mo. That's a really nice note to finish on, because it is all about working together. At the middle of all of this is that patient, and trying to make sure that we get the right people to the right place at the right time, really, isn't it? And you know, we are moving into kind of a brave new world of kind of integration and collaboration. Yep. I think, you know, fit testing has got a big part to play, hasn't it? To make sure that we recover from COVID and that we move forwards in a really productive way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So on that note, Mo, thanks so much. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Charlie. It's been an absolute pleasure. Fantastic. Have a good day.
So as discussed at the beginning of the episode, I'm now going to have a little look at the joint guidance that was brought out by the BSG and the ACPGBI in the summer around fit testing, particularly in those who are symptomatic in primary care. In primary care, we're always advised to look out for any red flag symptoms. And in terms of colorectal cancer, that includes things like abdominal pain, change in bowel habit, rectal bleeding, iron deficiency anemia, to name just a few. However, we know that symptoms alone are not a reliable predictor of colorectal cancer. And were we to refer everyone with symptoms suggestive of colorectal cancer to secondary care via the two-week wait pathway, that pathway would swiftly be overwhelmed. And so what we really need is a very reliable risk stratification test. And fortunately, we have that in FIT. The guidance has been informed by a large number of studies that have looked at how reliable FIT is as a risk stratification tool, and in reality it is fantastically useful for helping to guide who really needs to have an urgent assessment via the two-week wait pathway and who perhaps doesn't require that. So, for example, it quotes a number of studies that have looked at the reliability of FIT if we're using it at a cutoff of 10 micrograms of hemoglobin per gram of faeces. And when FIT is used in this way to risk stratify patients, it's found that it has a negative predictive value for colorectal cancer of between 99.7 and 99.9%. So it's clear that FIT is a very reliable risk stratification test for colorectal cancer. And if we have a patient who has a negative FIT test, so a symptomatic patient whose FIT test comes back at less than that threshold, which is generally used at 10 micrograms per gram of hemoglobin per gram of feces, then we can feel fairly confident that they don't have colorectal cancer, and therefore we should be looking for other reasons for their symptoms. And the guidance really elaborates on this, and the big change that we're seeing is that the number of symptoms that we should be doing FIT for has expanded significantly. So whereas previously there were question marks about whether we should be using it in iron deficiency anemia and rectal bleeding, well, this guidance certainly changes that and advises that the only time when a FIT is not a good indicator for whether a two-week wait referral is needed is in those who have an anal rectal mass or anal ulceration. So let's have a look at the overall summary of the guidance here. So one of the key areas here is that they're recommending that we do use FIT in primary care to help prioritise patients with clinical features of colorectal cancer for referral for urgent investigations. And so by implication, it's important that we do the test, wait for the result before making our decision about referral in those patients who have who are symptomatic and where we are considering colorectal cancer. They've also recommended a FIT threshold of greater than 10 micrograms of hemoglobin per gram of feces. Now, that's not greatly different from what we were looking at before. But as I said before, this is for all patients with symptoms. So those with iron deficiency anemia, those with rectal bleeding, they're not excluded from this assessment process. They should be part of it. The only situations where FIT does not help guide the need for two-week wait referral is those with anal and rectal mass and anal ulceration. However, they do recommend that if you have ongoing concerns about your patient, so for example, if they've got persistent or unexplained symptoms despite a negative FIT test, it would be appropriate to seek specialist advice. And that could be, for example, through your local advice and guidance service if you have it, or it could be through either a routine or urgent pathway that might be available to you in your area. As I mentioned before, the patients with iron deficiency anemia and rectal bleeding, the guidance now is that they should have a FIT test. I think it's worth spending a little bit more time just thinking about those patients with iron deficiency anemia and rectal bleeding, because I think that this is one of the significant changes that we have seen, that we're now being advised that it is safe to check the FIT level in these patients before referral. So firstly, just thinking about iron deficiency anemia, the previous BSG guidance didn't recommend the use of FIT in those with iron deficiency anemia. However, subsequently published evidence, such as the NICE FIT and the QFIT studies, have more recently provided further consistent data which supports the use of FIT testing in those with iron deficiency anemia. And now just thinking a little bit about the rectal bleeding group, again, an area where it sometimes feels like it's counterintuitive to do a FIT test, really, because the patient's already bleeding. Well, there is a lot of evidence now that it can be very useful because it can guide, firstly, what type of investigation the patient needs and how urgently they need it. The guidance around rectal bleeding has been informed by several large studies which have shown that the risk of colorectal cancer in those with rectal bleeding but a FIT negative, so FIT less than 10, the risk is low. Whereas in the group of patients who've got rectal bleeding but a FIT over 10, the risk is significantly higher. So these patients do need a more urgent assessment, whereas those with a FIT less than 10 may well be appropriate for example, a flexible sigmoidoscopy to assess the bowel rather than a full colonoscopy. So there is an impact here on service provision and prioritisation of urgency of test. So in summary, the guidance is advising that we do a FIT test on all patients with suspected colorectal cancer signs or symptoms, and that we use that to help guide and prioritise those patients who need a two-week wait referral and those who don't. The only group of patients where FIT testing should not be used to guide whether a two-way referral is required is those with anal or rectal mass or anal ulceration. If the FIT level is below threshold, then the chances of them having colorectal cancer, if they do not have one of those symptoms that we just mentioned there, the anal or rectal mass or the anal ulceration, is extremely low. And we can start to think about other assessments of those patients in the community and thinking of alternative diagnoses for their symptoms. However, it's really important to be aware that should you have a patient where you have ongoing concerns around their symptoms, despite a negative FIT test, that you seek advice either through your advice and guidance service or through another urgent or routine referral pathway. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast today. I hope you found it useful. The guidance document can be found on the BSG website. So if you type in BSG FIT guidance, you'll be able to find that on their website. There's a really useful flow chart there, which just outlines a lot of what we just talked about. And I think it's really important that you just familiarize yourself with the indications for FIT testing and some of the processes that we should be thinking about when using it. Finally, I'd like to thank Mo Thorfeet for joining me on this episode. I had a fantastic discussion with him, enlightening and interesting and useful. It'd be great if you could join us on our next episode of Ingest. Share your learning with your colleagues, and please do feel free to provide feedback to me about any topics you'd like me to cover or any feedback around the episodes that you've listened to. Thank you very much.